Amen. People having babies and on vacation and all kinds of exciting stuff going on. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So, yeah, it's good. Good. So, a lot of exciting stuff. So, praise God. Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 24. You know, we jump into this tonight. I'm talking about protecting yourself against deception. And you think, well, that sounds like a downer kind of message. No, it's actually liberating. Because, you know, there are so many people out in this world that are, you know, trying to decide whether they want to serve God or not. And, you know, well, I'm not sure if I believe that, or I'm not sure. Nothing, a nuclear bomb cannot separate me from the love of God. Meaning, it doesn't matter what person says something now or some new thing that comes out. Can you imagine that? Like, well, I saw in the news, so I don't love my spouse anymore. I mean, can you imagine that? Or well, this so-and-so said this, so I don't love my kids anymore. I mean, God is a person. So no amount of what anybody says is going to cause me to walk away from God. But yet there's so many people out there that they'll base it on circumstances, or they will base it on, you know, the storms of life, like we see there in the book of Mark. We see the four soil types. Matthew 24:24 says, "But there shall arise false Christ." Now, chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the end times, and we're definitely in the end times. And then he goes on and he says, "And false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So, and I know that some people have been kind of prophesying some things, that there will be some things that will deceive people, Christians, here in the near future. They could say tomorrow we found aliens and we just discovered that, you know, we are all, you know, byproducts of the aliens, and they actually, you know, so, I mean, they can come up with whatever crazy stuff out there. The point is this: I know what I believe, and I'm not going to be swayed by that, right? And so, and it says, show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, that they shall deceive the very elect. Let me say this: the enemy and the devil does not have the same ability God does, right? He's very limited. He's only one. And God is everywhere. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. He knows everything that's going on. The devil is not like that. So he doesn't know, again, everything that's going on, or can do everything, doesn't have the same, nowhere near the same ability God has. And I just back up here real quick. You know, it's funny, especially as kids, you know, we can, and the Bible talks about vain imaginations and things like that. You know, there are some, have you ever been somewhere before, or you've been with somebody and you'll walk by somebody and they'll say hello, you know, and they'll say hello, and then been around those people before, they're paranoid about everything, you know. What do they mean by hello? Did you see how they said that? You know, and really it all means they just meant hello. You know, did you see what they were wearing? You know, they got in that car. What are they doing now? You know, are they doing something illegal? Did you see who they talked to? He talked to that lady. Something must be going on, right? So we can construe everything out of proportion, where things can be so blown out of proportion, they're not realistic. And so, and really all they came and just said was hello. They were just being friendly. But again, people can use their imaginations. You think that's silly, but they can use their imagination to twist the word around or come up with some new theology, right? Anytime we get away from the Bible, we open ourselves up to deception. And, you know, the sad thing is, Adrian was just talking to somebody this week about, you know, and they were praying and, you know, talking about, you know, God puts sickness and disease on us, and he causes bad things to happen to us. And it's like, what? You know? It's just crazy. You know, it's like, You know, me, if my kids went out and said, oh, my dad, you know, beats me and he doesn't feed me and he doesn't buy me anything and doesn't do all these things. He's mean, awful, terrible. And what are you talking about? Right? Yeah. And he, you know, he's trying to get me sick and he's trying to kill me. And number one, that would be completely crazy. Right? So what is that? That is child abuse, but it's also, character assassination, isn't it? You're assaulting someone's character is what you're doing. And so we have all these people that will open the Bible up, just for an example, and I've, you know, beat it like a dead horse, but they'll open the Bible up and they'll read something, and because of their thinking and the way that they think or the way that they've thought somebody told them to think, now they have this idea of God is just, he's going around and he's picking people off left and right, and, you know, well, how can he be a loving God and then go kill people? That's where people will come back to the Garden of Eden and they'll say, well, see, God said, you know, if you eat it, then I'm going to kill you. No, he didn't say that at all. He said, if you eat the fruit, then you'll surely die. It's like me saying, well, if you go play in the street, you could get killed, right? If you jump off of Mount Rushmore, you will die. I am not pushing people off Mount Rushmore. Hello? I am not killing people. But what I am saying is, that if you do this, then this will be the result, right? If you do bad things, then these things will happen. God is just declaring what's going to happen to Adam and Eve if they do these things. And so, you know, we can look at these things. So there's deceptions coming that can really throw off Christians. But the whole point is are we going to cling to God? Are we going to be faithful to Him? And that's where we see people throughout, especially in the New Testament and the disciples, where, well, we see what? When Jesus was they pulled him out of the Garden of Gethsemane, they were taking him to Sanhedrin to be judged, and they were doing it secretly at night. Now, you got to understand that later on in the book of Acts, it says that many of the priests obeyed the faith and became Christians, right? So, you know, we think that from the Passion or through the Scriptures that all these priests wanted to kill Jesus and everything else. You got to understand, they pulled Jesus in the wee hours of the morning, judged him did not call the full Sanhedrin together. Why? Because they wouldn't have killed him. Because they would have said, this guy's a just man. We're not going to do this. But we see Peter left. Peter denied Jesus three times. He did all of these things, but he came back. What crushed Peter the most? Well, of course, it was Christ being sacrificed, but it was he denied Jesus three times. That's what hurt him. And he became... The difference between Peter and Judas is because Peter repented and Jesus didn't. Jesus went and killed himself. He's like, it's all done, right? I'm done. But Peter turned himself around and repented. And then we see in the book of Acts that he's out preaching in the streets. But there is deceptions, you know. I know, you know, well, let's look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. And one of the things is we don't want to get hung up on gimmicks. You know, I saw on TV, Adrian and I, you know, over the years, I mean, of course, if you've been in Christianity whatsoever, you know, there are a lot of gimmicks out there. Well, if you send me $50 and I've got water from the Jordan River here and you'll be healed and blessed. It's like,
for the 55 blessings.
Right. Give me $55, you'll get 55 blessings. It's like, I don't remember reading that anywhere in the Scriptures. I'm sorry. But Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, Acts 19, 11 and 12. And it says, and God wrought, this King James, special miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, did Paul heal anybody? No, he did not. It was the power of God working through Paul, wasn't it? So that, verse 12, so that his body were brought into the sick, here we go, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out. Now we believe that. Because the Bible says that we can pray on cloth, the anointing go into it, you can lay it on people and they could be healed. We see scripturally, right? Now, did the cloth heal anybody? No. Cloth can never heal anybody, right? So we get people who are superstitious and claim the cloth can do something special. Maybe it's a Levi's. We need Levi's jeans and we can, right? Or, no, I need Tommy Hilfiger. Or maybe a Coach purse will do the trick, right? Or something. No, it's not what it is you're getting. It's the anointing going into it, right? What happens is people begin to take scripture and they think that, I remember this years ago, I used to be an usher at Rhema. Gary and I were. And we would have people that would, you know, they'd pray, they'd get healed. Or when I was in, you know, when I went to prayer school all the time, in healing school, we'd see people get healed. And what they would do is they would get healed here. So, you know, we would pray for them here and somebody would get miraculously healed. And the next time we'd pray, the person, some different person would stand right here. You know, like they're going to get healed. It's a spot that's, you know, no, it's not. It's not the spot. It's not. It's the anointing of God that heals people, right? So, you know, we get all these people that are so wacko and crazy, and then what happens is then, you know, they say, well, that those spirit-filled people. No, it's nothing to do with spirit-filled people. It has to do with weirdos, right? Just doing weird things that are not even scriptural. We want to be scriptural in what we're doing. And so it's not the cloth. So it's not the ability, but it's the power and the anointing of the Lord going into a cloth, and then therefore, right? So the laying on of hands is another one. We lay hands on people and they can recover. It says that in the Bible. Well, it doesn't mean I have any ability. I can't heal a gnat. I can't do anything, but it's God using someone to heal. And that's where we get people, if you study church history, you study things that they have, God really uses them very dramatically. And then what happens is they get off because they start thinking it's something special about them. No, God just chose to use you, a dirt bag, right? Because we're all made out of dust, right? Hello? I mean, we're all just basically dirt. We'll end up being dirt again someday, unless we're raptured. But the point is God chooses to use us. And or, you know, some people, and I think it's kind of neat, shofars are neat, right? But what does that do? It's just basically symbolic of an Old Testament tradition, but it doesn't get me closer to God, right? We had down there in Tulsa, they had a shofar contest, and it was fun to watch and everything, but that doesn't get me any closer to God, does it? No. Or, you know, prayer shawls are really neat. They're, you know, more of an Old Testament Jewish tradition. But God's not going to answer my prayer if I have a prayer shawl on or not. And what happens is then we get into like all this weird, you know, mysticism and, well, I got to have a prayer shawl and I got to have this and I got to have this and I got to. No, you just need God. That's it. We just need the Bible and we need Jesus just to do these things, right? Or, you know, I remember seeing the movie Indiana Jones or Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, with he's looking for the Ark of the Covenant. You know, nobody technically knows where it's at right now. But, I mean, I've read some people, and I've been in a church one time where a guy said he thinks he knows where it's at, and some scholars think they know where it's at. They took planes, and they have radar, and they said they've located in mountains there, hills in Israel, where they think they know where it's at, because the radar, it's the same dimensions and where they think it's at. Anyway, but can you imagine if they made an announcement next week that they found the Ark of the Covenant? Well, what was the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant was, obviously Moses built it, and God commanded him to make it, and it was a replica or of on top of it with two cherubs, we call them angels with their cherubs. Their wings were spread out, and that was representative of the mercy seat where God's rested. I mean, that's where his throne was at, the mercy seat. And so when they would go to the Holy of Holies, which is a tabernacle, which is basically a glorified tent, you know, because they didn't have the temple built at that time. So they would take the Ark of the Covenant in there, and they kept the second Ten Commandments, because the first one, you know, Moses got mad and busted it up, and then he had, you know, God had to Xerox another copy for him. And then there he put it in the Ark of the Covenant, right? And then there's the ashes of the red heifer and some other artifacts that were put in there. So God's presence would manifest on top of it. at certain times. And when they would have the sacrifice, Day of Atonement, when they would sacrifice a lamb for the sins of the nation. But they would manifest there. Well, when Jesus came, when Jesus died on the cross, at that point, remember there was an earthquake, and the temple, the curtain was ripped from top to bottom. And the curtain was not like a little, you know, Dollar General shower curtain. This was very, you know, several inches thick, right? And it just went zip. It just ripped it instantly when Christ died. Why? Because God is no longer resting on an Ark of the Covenant. His presence is no longer manifesting on top of the Ark of the Covenant anymore. He lives in us if we're born again, and upon us if we have the Holy Spirit. So can you imagine if they found the Ark of the Covenant, people would be worshiping in that thing, because that would be the most significant human artifact of human history would be the Ark of the Covenant, right? So I believe there are reasons why these things are not made to the public, or at least made, or at least we know where they're at, is because I believe God would know that people would worship it, right? What would people do? If I just touched the Ark of the Covenant, I would just, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, but people died by just touching the Ark of the Covenant, right? So that's not a good idea either. But the point is this, we got to get down to, because I believe things are going to come, and like we just read there, things are coming where we've got to have our faith in Jesus. That's it. We got to have our faith in God. They could, you know, say tomorrow, oh, we found the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, or, you know, people would flip out and you know, go there and try to touch it, because that's where, again, the presence of God was at. But he's in me, and he's in you. We don't need the Ark of the Covenant. It's interesting, right? It's very interesting. It would be, you know, very fascinating to be able to see the actual Ark of the Covenant and, you know, connect the dots and, you know, see Moses' actual Ten Commandments. And, I mean, that would be completely mind-blowing. But it doesn't change my love for God, right? It doesn't change where I stand with him. I mean, that would be an absolute faith builder, wouldn't it? I mean, to see the Ark of the Covenant, that would be amazing. I would look at it that way. Other people would, you know, go completely wacko on it. But John 10:10, we all know this one. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The only reason we have life is because of him, because of the Lord, right? Life does not come from anything else. It comes from him. He is our life source. Exodus 15:26. I'm going to bounce through some of these because I got a few scriptures here to read. Exodus 15:26. It says, if you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God, this is a Living Bible, and obey it and do what is right, then I will not make you suffer the diseases I sent on the Egyptians. Here we go. For I am the Lord who what? Heals you. The Lord heals you. I think a lot of the church needs to read this again. They need to put it right above their bathroom mirror in the morning. The Lord heals you. We needed this during coronavirus, didn't we? Right? A lot of Christians had their chicken pants on and didn't want to, scared of everything. You know, oh, coronavirus is so big, and coronavirus is so terrible. Ah, we're all going to die because of coronavirus. No, we're not, right? Even now people are still, you know, you know, they got to have their face diaper on, and oh my gosh, everything's just terrible, awful. No, God's bigger than coronavirus. And he says right here, for I am the Lord that who heals you. Heals you. He's the healer. Thank God for doctors, but they're not the healers. It's the Lord heals. Any kind of revelation or anything, any kind of effective medicine, anything, it came from the knowledge of God. Acts 17:28. So again, no matter what we hear on TV, no matter what's going on, no matter what kind of propaganda you hear, whatever, Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." We cannot do anything without him. We can't live, we can't move, and we can't have our being. We can't live, we can't exist without him. And it says, "Even as some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." 2 Thessalonians 2. Here's some good stuff here. You know, the crazy thing is, the more, and this is the way I'm wired, though, the more people come against this, the more I want God. You know, the more I run to him, the more I press into him, you know, the world can become more and more secular, more and more crazy and nuts, and it just brings me, it just helps solidify and brings you a good foundation, amen, under what you believe. You see people just flipping out over everything on TV. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 through 12, and it says, "Don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the one who brings destruction." Talking about the Antichrist, okay? It's coming sometime down the road. "He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even set in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God." So this is the Antichrist. This is in Israel, in Jerusalem. He will set in the temple. He will proclaim himself God. We see there in the book of Daniel, we also see in Revelation that he will bring, it talks about blasphemes against God. Verse 5, "Don't you remember that I told you about all of this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes." Here we go. "For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him," here we go, "with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming." I always thought that was cool. You know, I always imagined this scripture and some Revelation, but I always imagined, never anybody preached this before, but I just thought it was so cool. On when the Battle of Armageddon, you know, when Jesus is on his horse and he's coming, he's going to destroy the enemy. Is there really, I mean, obviously there's not going to be a fight because Jesus is going to speak the word and it's going to be, everything's going to be gone, right? I mean, it's just, everything's just going to be, boom. The enemy's going to be taken out. Verse 9, "This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit," here we go, "power and signs and miracles." Do you know how many people are going to fall for this stuff? At some point, this stuff will be revealed, right? Now, again, I don't want to get too crazy on other things, but I've read, and just scientists and everything, talking about the things that they can do now with satellites, with holograms. They can make things look real to people just by satellite imagery and everything. And they have so much technology now where, I mean, just by technology, you can make things happen, make things look real, you know, that nobody would even know the difference unless you walked up to it and just saw that it was a hologram or something, right? So, I mean, the technology's here that if the Antichrist got a hold of it, he could fool a lot of people, right? And do a lot of crazy stuff, and it's not real at all. Because the Bible talks about it being what lying wonders. It's stuff that's not true. So what the point is this: hold fast to God. Hang on to him. And it doesn't matter what you see on TV or anything else. The Bible has been right this whole time, and it will continue to be right. It doesn't matter what we see on TV. I remember just Smith Wigglesworth would not allow Lester Sumrall to come in his house with a newspaper. Because he says, I don't want the devil's news in my house. And that's all it is. Because they're just reporting things that are going on in another world. Even if they don't have an agenda or anything else, just reporting everything that's happening bad is, again, we're just talking about, what the devil's doing or trying to do. Verse 10, he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So here's the difference. The people who are not saved, the people who reject the truth, will fall for it. But the people who love God won't. And they value. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. So, it's a big joke to some people that it's like, oh, it's just crazy. And it is a matter of eternal salvation, of what we do believe and what it is that we're feeding on all the time. Because, again, these people, they don't want to know the truth. And they'll accept the deception. And God has just basically said, okay, I can't do anything with them. I'm letting them be deceived. Second, in King James, I like the King James here. We're finishing up here in just a moment. But it says in verse 9 of that same chapter, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and what we got? Lying wonders. Lying wonders. So you're going to see things on TV, you're going to hear things, and it's all going to be lying wonders. A lot of it's not going to be true, right? That's why it's important to be on the inside, know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing it in the news where the things that, we've been saying the whole time, now it's starting to be exposed. It's coming out in the news. These people have lied. They were deceptive about the coronavirus. We knew this the whole time. We've been saying this the whole time, and now it's coming out public. It was the disease was real. We're not saying that. But what we're saying, the way that it was approached and there was deception with it, it's all coming out now. And that's the thing where you just, on the inside, you just know something's not right, something's weird. And even if you don't, you just listen to these people and they double talk all the time. You know that they forget what lie they said before and they try to skip on another lie. And that always works, right? Lying to get your way out of saying another lie, that always seems not really. And then verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So I like King James says it, because these people, they don't have a love for the truth, so they'll go for anything, right? Well, the news said this. Well, these people said this. Well, I saw that, and I saw this. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God is so good. He is so good. And there is something where, for example, the world doesn't have the ability to discern God. They don't have the ability to discern often truth or right or wrong or the things of light because of their darkness. They don't have the ability to do that. And we see here that we as believers have the ability to do this. And God is going to speak to us. And he's going to reveal things. And the thing is, we want other people to get on board also and to see these things before it's too late. Couple more scriptures here, and we'll tie some things up here. And they, Revelation chapter 12, 11, and it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Difference between the world and us is because if we don't love our life unto death, the world system and the world's people, that's all they have, right? I mean, save as much money as you can, retire, relax, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. But that's their whole life. I'm going to live this life out, and then it's all done. I find more people will spend planning their vacation than they will on their eternity. And we see that more people spend their time, I do anyway, they spend more time on their planning a vacation than they do on a retirement. Or, you know, saving money or, you know, trying to prepare for that. And people spend no time, the world spends no time on eternity, which is the most important thing ever, right? Where we're going to spend time, where we're going to spend eternity at. They don't care because they just think, oh, I'm going to die and it'll just, whatever, I don't know, it'll just happen. You know, the sad thing is how many people that wake up in hell or they go to hell and they think that it just they're just going to die and nothing's going to happen, and all of a sudden they see the horrors of that. That's the heartbreaking thing. And so, but again, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The blood of the Lamb is in our word of our testimony, that's what overcomes. And Hebrews 10:25, talking about a few things here at the end. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I see people that that I was years ago that I went to church with, and then all of a sudden they don't. And what happens is they slowly get weirder and weirder and weirder and weirder. And they're just out of touch. You know, they're not grounded. They're not, you know, now they, well, I've got my own ideas about this. Well, I don't really have my own ideas about anything. I just read the Bible. And I'm like, if it says here that, you know, we have overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony, right? And he is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not going to question that. Well, I've got these other ideas. Well, I don't really have any ideas. All I know is I'm just going to chase after the Bible, run after, just do what the Bible says and focus on that, pray, and try to hear from the Holy Spirit, get the inward witness moving forward, and try to preach this gospel to as many people as I can. I remember people saying, Brother Hagin one time, well, I've got this opinion, I got that opinion, and it's like, Brother Hagin, and what, you know, I never really, when I'm praying, I don't really hear God asking my opinion a lot. You know, he's really more just like, I need to do this, I need to do this, you need to work on this. You know, and there's other dialogue, and maybe, you know, ask me things about like, what do I want, or, you know, but for the most part, yeah. And you know what? I know he knows better than I do. So, you know, when I come along and I say, well, Lord, you really need to do this for me and this and this, and this is what I think, and this is what I think. What do you think, Lord? Crickets chirping in the background. Nothing happening. But I say, what do you want? What are your plans? And he wants to hear from us, and he wants to talk to us. But in these end times, this is what we need to focus on. You know, I have other people, well, you know, talk to people over the years, and they'll say something. Well, you know, this prophet so-and-so said this. Okay, well, you know, we'll let it go and see if those things come to pass. But other people have said things like, well, this person said this, but it's not biblical. I mean, if it's not even biblical, I can throw it out right now, right? You know, I remember Brother Hagin saying one time, a guy came to him and said, you know, I want you to pray. I'm believing for this other man's wife. Well, you don't even have to pray about that stuff, right? I mean, that's just completely unbiblical. That is just the most crazy thing I've ever heard in my life. Brother Hagin said, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to. That's sin. You're not, that's not, we're not going to do that. So, you know, you can have the inward witness, you know, all the time. But, you know, it's so sad when you're around other folks, and especially if they claim to be believers, and they're saying things like, well, you know, God's killing people, and, you know, he puts a disease on us to teach us a lesson. And, I mean, it's just, it's crazy talk, and it's just, it really, it's like my ears just go, they just shrink when I hear that kind of stuff. And how are we going to get out of this is just study the Word. Pray. Study the Word to show yourself approved, a workman who can rightly divide the Word of truth. You know, what is the thing in this land? And I was reading some things. The biblical illiteracy in our nation is mind-blowing, right? I could go out here and I could say, you know, I could walk up to somebody and say, you know, something like, how long did it take Moses to build the ark? And nobody would get it, right? You know? Or, you know, what's the first book of the Bible? Or anything. It's just we're seeing a famine of the word. But you know what sets us free is the word. And of course, that's the devil's trick, is to try to get everybody so ignorant and stupid of the word that when things come up, you know, and I thought about this too, about the things that we have gone through the last year or two. And I'm thinking, would my grandparents have put up with this? Would their parents have put up with this stuff? You know, who would have gone through what? Again, the stuff that's being pulled now and everything else too would not have gone over 100 years ago. Why? It's because we're getting farther and farther away from God and the things that are taught in school and the things that are... Why? Because we have people that are biblically illiterate. They don't know the Word of God and they don't care. And when you say things like, well, the Bible says, and they like shrug their shoulders because there's no value to them. And then you look at their life also. It's they're confused all the time and they believe anything and everything. But as we... You know, in the days to come, we got to cling to our Bible more and more and more. And the world is, there's going to be more pressure for us to give up the truths of the Word. But that's how we need to cling tighter to the Word of God. Amen. Did I put you to sleep? They're having fun back there. I don't know, but they're having fun back there. So, amen. Father, we thank you for this time together, Lord Jesus. We thank you. I thank you for your word that no matter what happens, what comes down the pipeline, no matter who says anything, your word is eternal. And your word says that even when the stars are done and everything's wrapped up, your word will be eternal and it will last longer than this world and everything in it, Lord. That your word will never fail. That your word is truth. That your word carries weight, and that your word defeats the enemy, and your word brings joy, and your word brings healing, and your word brings victory, and your word brings hope, and your word brings salvation, and your word brings revelation, and your word brings relationship with you, and your word brings revelation in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you not only that, but the word and the spirit working together, Lord. It's going to take us to a new place. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we don't look at our circumstances or anything else, but we say that we trust in you, and we thank you that we're going deeper with you on another level, Lord God, but also too, we have rest and peace because your word brings peace, your word brings stability, Lord, and your word brings comfort to us, Lord God, and joy like never before, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We pray that we're going to connect with other like-minded people also in the name of Jesus. We declare it, Lord God. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Well, everybody have a great week. Try to keep cool. We are done, little buddy. Yay. Amen. Have a great week.